The books of Samuel are the 9th and 10th books of the Bible. The writings of the Hebrew Bible fall more or less into four categories: history, law, wisdom, and poetry. While some books include elements of multiple genres, the books of Samuel were written to be a history of the people of Israel. The events take place over 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, but weren't written down for several hundred years. So it's not so much a history textbook per se, as it is a family history. Stories that have been passed down, occasionally exaggerated for dramatic effect, but more concerned with the lessons that people learned than with precise details. The people of Israel have been looking for a promised land, literally or metaphorically, since the moment the mythological first human stepped foot outside of the Garden of Eden. They've looked for a home with more honest people. They've looked for a home with more fertile fields. They've looked for a home with a more reliable water source. They've looked for a home where they could be free. They've looked for a home that could be more permanent. At this point in the history, as it's told to us, the people are a bit more settled, but like always, they sometimes struggle to live their lives the way that God might like them to. And so, for several generations, the people sought out the leadership of judges. The judges were closer to military leaders than legal experts, because language is weird. It included figures like Gideon, Deborah, Jephthah, and Samson. The people were always pushing for a leader, because it is easy to get lost in life. So judges were appointed, and for a time, people were satisfied. But sooner or later, they went back to struggling to live their lives the way that God might want them to. None of the judges are ever completely successful at uniting the people, and a couple of them are straight up awful. Jephthah, oh, excuse me, something in my throat. No human will ever completely satisfy anyone. That's not necessarily failure. That's just being human. But still, the people of Israel yearn for a better leader. That's where we come into the story today, beginning a cycle of stories in the lectionary that will take us through the saga of David, one of the most complicated figures of the Hebrew Bible. We won't meet him until next week, but the lectionary will have us spend the whole summer with him. A reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 8. Verses 1 through 22, and chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us, like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So also are they doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day, you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice, and set a king over them." Samuel then said to the people of Israel, "Each of you return home." Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal, and there renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed offerings of well-being before the Lord, and there Saul and all the Israelites rejoiced greatly. This is the word of the Lord. We are always looking for something to solve our problems. Whether it's a gadget, or a new job, or a romantic partner, or a medical procedure, or more money, or a degree, or a different home, or another Spider-Man actor, or a new skill, or a better computer, or a faster internet connection, we're always looking for something. Usually, we know that it won't fix everything, but that doesn't stop us from looking. It can be easy to fixate on what we convince ourselves is the best solution. If I dress more stylishly, maybe I'll become more popular. If I put in more hours at work, maybe I'll get a promotion. If I buy a better computer, maybe I can create better content for my YouTube channel. And so the people of Israel decide that the solution to their problem is to establish a monarchy. I'm sympathetic, more so than Samuel is. Perhaps surprisingly, I'm not sympathetic just because I'm fascinated by royal families and the histories of kings and queens, although I am, but because I can understand and relate to the yearning for stability. It is a whole process to appoint a judge. They have limited control. They come from different regions and tribes, so there is very little continuity between them. A king, on the other hand, can appoint an heir and, at least theoretically, teach them how to be an effective ruler. A king with an established capital is easier to locate and communicate with. A king has a system of authority to back him up from day one, whereas each new judge had to prove him or herself to the people, with varying degrees of success. After all the other nations had kings, for better or for worse. Israel wanted to be a unified nation with a seat at the proverbial table, and for that, they needed a head of state. "We want a king," the people tell Samuel. "You know that any king will disappoint you," Samuel tells them. "We know," said the people, "but we still want a king." "You know that there will be many costs and consequences," Samuel tells them. "We know," said the people, "but we still want a king." "You know that a king won't solve all your problems," Samuel tells them. "We know," said the people, "but we still want a king." There will come a day when you will regret this choice, Samuel tells them. You will curse the day you crowned him. You will remember the warnings that God gave you through me, and you will be too late to change what will have happened. We know, said the people, but we still want a king. And so Saul is crowned as king, and so the people rejoice. But Saul was always going to disappoint them, because at the end of the day, Saul was human, and humans will always disappoint each other in some way or another, because that is what humans do. No matter how much we love each other, no matter how hard we try, no matter what changes we make to be better, no matter how passionately we strive to seek justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God, only God is perfect. We should always seek to form strong relationships and communities, to help each other and to rely on each other, because, as God said at the very beginning, it is not good for the human to be alone. But at the same time, we can never rest all of our hopes and dreams and needs on any one human. Throughout our lives, there will be many times when we need to look to each other, but we can't forget that there will also be times when we need to remember our place in the universe and shift our gaze to look up. God is there. God is guiding us. God is calling out to us. If only we will listen.